morning, everybody. What a beautiful past week and a beautiful day the Lord's given us. And, you know, when you think about it, could be getting ice and rain or snow, and this is just beautiful, wonderful. Enjoy it. And maybe tomorrow yet, too, maybe Tuesday. So, anyway, welcome to First Baptist Church. And my name is Randy Thompson, if you don't know me. And I'd like to welcome you, and let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. We have a lot to be thankful for, so let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for our church here on the hill in Reed City, Michigan. We ask you, Lord, that you would use us as a beacon to the community. We just thank you for all the blessings you've given us. Lord, we ask you to be the pastor this morning as he gives your message, that you would put your words and thoughts into his head and pass it on to us, Lord, and that we would get something out of the message, as we normally do, Lord. And we just thank you for this time together this morning, and be with us in the days ahead. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you'll take your bulletin, I will just read a few announcements or go over a few announcements with you very quickly. Pastor tells us here in the bulletin, next week he's going to start preaching about Jesus, the divine DA. So he'll be preaching 1 John 2, and you can read the rest there. Children's program, the Kids for Truth Children's Program, ages 3 on up. Oh, I wish I had that vitality that those little ones have. I always said, I wish you could take a shot, just put it in arm, and, you know. Please see Pastor Lee if you have any questions. Ladies' Bible Study is going to be on Saturday, November 14th at 10 a.m. So, ladies, if you'd like to come up to that, it'll be over at the, that's at the hall, right? Fellowship Hall. Special announcement, our children's Sunday school classes are adopting a missionary. It's kind of like the Easter egg roll. If you'd like, bring some change and just kind of place it and surprise them a little bit. They're going to collect the money and give it to one of the missionaries for Christmas. And so that's kind of a fun thing to do. And you can hide it. One more week. Next Sunday is the last day, right? Yep, thank you. So keep that in mind. This Sunday and next Sunday, and that's it. So if you want to hide your change around here over in the hall a little bit, that's cool. Upcoming fellowships, Pie and Praise, one of my favorite nights, days. We'll follow the evening service. We'll meet in the hall, and please plan on bringing a pie. Now, his appetite for pie is a little different than my appetite for pie. I like fruit pies. You want to know what he wants, ask him what he wants for pie, okay? I haven't asked the rest of the family. So if plan on that. We had a great time last year with Pie and Praise. November 29th, there will be pizza luncheon. As you know, the Thanksgiving's on the 26th, and we're not going to do a big old Thanksgiving dinner. Everybody's ate a lot of turkey, or whatever you eat. So we're going to have pizza luncheon following the morning service. The church will provide the pizza and the drinks, and we'll meet in the fellowship hall. And last but not least, there's an annual coat drive going on. And that's not just coats. That's hats and mittens and boots and socks and whatever you think will help the children and young adults and adults in our community. There's a great need for that. So that's all I have for you, unless somebody has something to add. Sometimes we have a last second one come in. All right, and I'm going to turn it over to Pastor. Now I will. You want me to say anything more? Prayer? I prayed already.
Yeah, no.
All right, well, I'm going to turn it over to you then.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I'm going to call one individual out just because we're making faces and talking without talking. Phineas is walking down the center aisle and then went back around, and I'm wondering where my 4-year-old son's going with his glass of water. And all of my kids are kind of spread throughout the room, like, where's he going to go? What's he going to do? Because I never know with him. Sometimes it's interesting, and sometimes, well, it's really interesting. I've got some stories, but we won't share them this morning. It is great to have you here. I know we've got many. Otherwise it's several. Either way, visitors with us, whether they're first-time visitors, returning visitors, reverse snowbirds for some. Glad to have you all with us. It's such a blessing to have you here today to worship our God with us this morning, to sing and to pray and to hear the preaching and teaching of the Word as a local body of believers. Now, so turn in your hymnals with me, if you will, to 422. We'll be singing the first through the third verse of Know Not One. We'll sing this standing, please. And we will have the notes up on the screen. I always forget that one. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our ills, diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None like him, he's God and holy. No, not one. No, not one. And yet no friend is so meek and lowly. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Hold on just 1 second. Now, I don't normally stop the songs like this, but if you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, if he is a friend of yours in that regard, sing out here on the third. I can hear a few of you, but if that's a truth in your life, sing this with well, I don't want to say all that you have because we have more of a service to do, but with the absolute truth and knowledge and understanding that he is your closest friend. On the third. There's not an hour that he is not near us. No, not one. No, not one. No night so dark that his love can't cheer us. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Amen. Thank you for singing this morning. You may be seated at this time. We have missions moment and then a special little missions tag on at the end of that. So.
Good morning. Excuse me. I'm going to just read a letter that prayer letter that came in from Eric Bowman, and they are in Africa. And I think this kind of sums up what we've all been going through. Of course, everything is about COVID now, but I thought this was good. It says, "Dear praying friends, while it may seem that the gospel has been hindered by the pandemic as churches have been closed all around the world, I have seen the message of the gospel being spread in more ways than ever before. Nearly every church has taken advantage of various internet platforms for their services, even in Africa. And through those means, the gospel has touched places now that a missionary has never reached. Nearly every preacher I have spoken to has remarked that more people are watching their online sermons than ever attended their church, and many from different countries. Like the Apostle Paul felt while being jailed for preaching the gospel, he exclaimed, 'But the word of God is not bound.' While it may feel that circumstances have limited us or bound us, the word of God is going into the regions beyond. Since my travels have been limited and I have been confined to work remotely from my office or home, my workload has increased as now communications with our on-field missionaries has multiplied. Also, church services, school chapel sermons, as well as mission conference messages have been videoed or Zoomed. Inconveniencing? Yes. A lot of preparation and hard work? Yes. However, this is part of being made all things so that we may all by all means save some. That's from 2 Corinthians 9:22. The word of God is not bound in other areas too. Deep in the bush of northern Kenya, where I started a Bible study years ago, a new church building is going up. Members of the Solid Rock Baptist Church in the village of... Yes. I'll let you look at it and you can decide how to pronounce it. Are so happy to finally start construction. They were able to acquire a plot of land a while ago, but have been hindered in constructing a building. However, through the help of a church and an individual donor, they are making blocks by hand, and a church building will be completed soon to the glory of God. Rejoice with me in the fact that the word of God is not bound until all nations hear Eric Bowman.
Thank you, Jen, for sharing that
prayer update. It's amazing. You know, we look at the... Isaac, come on up. But it's amazing. We look at our situation here and what's going on in America as far as the COVID, and we have all the technology in the world, really. I mean, we used to be Zooming our prayer meetings and we're live on Facebook, but to hear it going out into the bush in Africa where that technology isn't normal is just fantastic. You ready? Are you going to behave? Okay, good. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead, bud.
We are,
It's okay, go ahead.
We, signed up for the missionaries of New Guinea. Their name's The Doors. We set a goal for $50, and we're at $40 right now.
Amen.
We are hoping we can get to $50 to send stuff so their children can get stuff they don't normally get there.
Like I said, when we were originally talking about their goals, leave it to my son to pick something way high and lofty, and then leave it to God to actually do it. It's amazing. Praise the Lord. It's exciting to see the excitement in the kids. They get to share something and adopt a missionary for Missionary Christmas as well. That's awesome. Praise the Lord, and thank you all for giving towards that for the kids. It means quite a deal for them, and it will for the missionaries, I'm sure. Alrighty. Oh, yeah, there you go. Are you ready for scripture reading? You kind of blended in with everybody else, which I guess is a good thing. Right. Praise the Lord.
Psalm 40, verse 13 through 17. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God.
Thank you for the reading of the word this morning. Let's pray. God, we are so thankful for your word that we can join together to read it, to reflect on the Psalms as we've been doing for quite a while, and what the psalmist is pouring his heart out in many ways to you, seeing how they needed you. And in this case, I believe it's David writing how he needed you, how he wasn't perfect, how he failed. And he struggled. And he was attacked in many ways, and yet, Lord, didn't turn to anything else, turned to you for his help. And may we be the same way, that we would ask you to not tarry, but to care for us and to meet our needs and our struggles. And I pray that as the men will be coming forward in just a moment for this morning's tithe and offering, that you would bless the gift, the giver, and those that cannot give, that you'd use these funds that we give back to you, a small portion of what you've given us already, for the furtherance of your word, both here in our community and around the world, Father, through mission. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The gentleman come forward, please. Oh, so I turned it off when I thought I got it backwards. Let me start over again. So we have, with Veterans Day coming up, I want to take just a few moments and recognize the servicemen and women we have amongst us, whether active or retired or reserved. So if you have, in the past or are currently serving our nation in the armed forces of some sort, would you please stand? I'm going to ask you for name, rank, serial number. No, I'm just kidding. And nothing else, because I know that rule. But I'll ask you guys to share name and branch that served in. Yep. Thank you, sir. Amen. Thank you for your service, Skip. Rick? Praise the Lord. Thank you for your service as well. It is not something to ever be forgotten or taken lightly, the blank check that is written by many, many men and women on our behalf. So again, thank you for your service for our nation and for us. Alrighty, now I know my kids are peppered throughout the room here, but for special this morning, my children will be singing a song that I've heard 10 times and I can't remember the name of. So come on up, guys. It's I'm understanding it's part of getting older that we start to forget things.
I want to be faithful.
Thank you guys for that reminder. What a, you know, I love children's songs, not because I listen to them all the time, but I love them because such simple songs, such great truth, such, well, how many of us would sit or stand here this morning and say, I want to be faithful. I want to be true. I want to be faithful in all that I do. It's not just, well, here's this portion of me and I'm going to do the rest, but I want to be faithful in all. Thank you for your reminder to us this morning, guys. And praise the Lord for that. Alrighty, we'll have you guys stand and sing with me one last time before we begin the message. So stretch your legs out. I know we've been sitting for a while, did things a little bit out of order. We're going to introduce, I think it's a new song. How many of you are familiar with the song In Christ Alone? Okay, we've got a few. Good, so you guys sing out because we're introducing several new songs over the next several months. It'll be a song a month, so we have time to work into it and get used to it. And then we'll repeat them every few months or so. We want to introduce some new songs that are good. So we'll sing all four verses of In Christ Alone, and you'll have the music on the screen. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. On the second. In Christ alone, flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. On the cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought through the precious blood of Christ. And on the last, no guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, nor scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Amen. Thank you for your singing this morning. You may be seated. I think the first time I heard that song was we were up in Bible college, so that was 10 years ago. And I usually don't make it through the third verse, or the fourth verse. I usually can't. So praise the Lord for the truth there. The way we've done it in the past is on verse 3 we start real quiet. And then at the and bursting forth portion we kind of erupt in exclamation of the truth. But we will get there. Turn your Bibles with me if you will. Excuse me, to 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 7 through the first portion of verse 1 in chapter 2. We're looking at the test of salvation. This is the second part. I want to start out with a question. How Can you know that you yourself or another person is a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? How can you know? It's okay. I'm not going to say any answer is right, but it's okay. You can share this. How do you know? Okay. Not ashamed of Christ. There's many passages by this. The world will know that you are my disciples, and there's other passages that do talk about this. I want to be careful with this because I'm going to give you three of them here this morning. But when I do so, keep in mind that only you yourself and God actually know 100%. It's not my job to look at you and say, well, you do X, Y, and Z, and you obviously cannot be a believer. Well, there's a lot of things, there's a lot of people out there that are believers that don't live according to the way we're supposed to. Doesn't mean that they're not believers. So be careful when I say this. I know I started 2 weeks ago with a very qualified, apologized message on the traits of an unbeliever. And the reason I did so was because, A, the passage starts with the traits of an unbeliever in the first portion of it. But I qualified it all to say that those people that live and have those traits in their life, they may be believers, but they may have walked away. But at the same time, they may not be. And we're going to say the same things this morning. Just because a person walks in these ways doesn't mean that they are a true believer. Only God knows that. But we're going to lay out, just as we did with traits of the unbeliever, the general character traits of a believer this morning. Let's pray. God, again, is always a privilege to be gathered together with your people this morning to open up your word, to see what it has for us to learn today, to see areas in our lives maybe that we need to change to be more like you, to be more conformed to the image of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as believers. Maybe it'd be this morning, Father, that there's somebody here that does not know that they are a true believer, that they would spend eternity with you when they pass on. And Father, I pray today that you would open our eyes and our hearts and our minds, quiet the voices and all the mess that's going on in this world, and all the excitement of next Sunday coming up, that we can hear your still small voice speaking to us this morning. God, I ask that you'd speak through me, that there'd be nothing more than a mouthpiece, that your words would come through, and that we would all see and hear what you'd have for us to hear this morning. Thank you again for our time as we begin the message this morning. And pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to start in verse 7 of 1 John chapter 1. It says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. This is from part 1. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 9. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. This is from part 1. We piece these two. And then chapter 2, verse 1, in the first portion, it says, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. The second set of traits, or the tests of salvation. You know, how many of you have heard passing the acid test? That kind of idea. You're testing the metal to see if it is truly what it is. You know, gold, for instance, has certain characteristic traits. You test fake gold or fool's gold and regular gold. There is a test for that. You want to test the strength or the purity of a metal, you usually test it with an acid. And certain metals will withstand and certain won't. This is kind of one of those passages. Remember back in this time when John is writing this letter, there's a lot of false teachers coming into the early church. Now, this is around 90-95 AD, so it's not new. The church has been there for a while, and they're starting to see and continually dealing with false teachers coming into the early church. Similarly, we have, has been going on since. But they're coming in, and they're saying, what he's saying is, I'm writing these things to this area of Asia Minor so that as you guys have these teachers in your church, that you'll be able to mark them as truly teaching what God says, or, to put it in my terms, hey, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. They're not teaching the gospel according to the way they're supposed to. They're not according to the scriptures. They're not doing it from a pure standpoint as a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, or maybe doing so out of pride and gain. I wasn't there. I don't know what the situation exactly, but the idea is to mark those that are wolves in sheep's clothing, if you will. The traits, just to give us a little portion of the unbeliever, is they live in darkness. They don't walk in the light, as we're going to see this morning. They're deceived. They don't understand. Their mind is darkened by the sin-sick world around them. They don't know. And they make God to be a liar. They defame him in saying that they have no sin. We looked at those and unpacked them. But this morning, on the opposite side of that, for the test of a true believer, if you want to put it that way, is that true believers are cleansed people. True believers are confessing people. And the last point we're going to look at is that they are conquering people. Starting with the cleansed people. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Similarly, we see in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. And remember, that's within the realm of the area, or the region, I should say, with Ephesus and all the other cities there where he's writing to. So a lot of it lines up with Ephesians, Colossians, and so on. It says, for you were sometimes darkness as an unbeliever, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So this command is not a new thing. He's not making this terminology up. It is seen throughout the scriptures in many other ways and places, but we're not going to go there right now. What I want to ask is, how do we do that? Say, we can look at this truth and say, okay, walk in the light. What does that mean? How do we do that? It's impossible. How many of you have ever thought that? Just for a moment. You don't even have to raise your hands. How many of you have thought that, you know, it is impossible to live a godly life, to walk in the light in whatever situation, in the world we're living in today, in an unsaved household, in a broken home? It's impossible to live as light as Christ is in my situation. It's impossible. Can't do it, right? In the flesh, you're right. We can't do it. We cannot possibly, in and of ourselves, mankind cannot live as God has for us to do. Otherwise, we'd do it and Christ wouldn't need to come, would he? No. He wouldn't have. If I was able to be holy on my own, there would be no need for Christ. But I can't. And neither can you. See, to be able to walk in the light is a spirit-enabled walk. Those who walk in the light, true believers, do so because we are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. God gives us the power, the ability to be able to follow him, to obey him, to understand his word. Because again, outside of that, we can't. We are new creatures. We're new creations. 1 Corinthians 7, chapter 17, but as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Now this is a dual purpose passage. I'm called to be a pastor. Some are called to missions. Some are called to teaching. Some are called to playing piano. Some are called to praying. And the list goes on and on. We kind of talked about that in Sunday school. There are many different and very important roles in the church. Some are called to be businessmen and women. And God equips us for the calling that He's given. If God calls you to do something, He's going to give you the ability to do it. Even if it's standing in front of people and speaking in public like I never liked to do and I hated to do, He has given me the ability to do it decently so far. And Lord willing, He'll continue to enable me to do so. But He distributes that. Now, at the same time, we're talking about here, God has called us to be believers. The call is out to all people. The gospel is to all people. Not all people will answer. Not all people will make that decision. And we know that. But He's called all men and women, people, to repentance. He's called us all to Himself. And in doing so, upon salvation, He then equips us to that calling, to walk as light, to fulfill the Great Commission. Because the Great Commission wasn't just given to the disciples and the people that were in the area. It was given to every single believer. And He equips us to be able to then preach and teach the gospel, making disciples, and so on with that. So He enables us to walk as believers. And as we do so, as believers, as we walk in the light, as the Holy Spirit helps us to do so, we show His power. How many of you, I'm going to ask this question. Please answer this one. It's okay. How many of you became a believer as an older teenager or adult? Okay. It's okay. I'm not disqualifying or discrediting anybody that got saved as a child. But in doing so, how many of you are told you're not the same person you used to be? I think I'm going to get away with this because I don't think my dad's watching. And if he is, it's okay. It's part of our family history. So I grew up in a fairly unsafe home. I believe it's an unsafe home as far as I know. My parents split up. I had no real church background for the most part until I was dating my wife at the time, and we weren't supposed to because I was a bad kid at 18. And we're not going to go into that story. But she invited me to hang out with her at a harvest rally. I don't know what this is. But I go, and I went and had a blast. It was a good time. I ended up hearing the gospel and getting saved that day. And the next, because it was a Saturday, of course, the next day, what do believers do, right? I don't know any better. I'm going to church. So I go to church. And God slowly, over the next 6 to 8 months, started taking away a lot of those things that were part of my old life. I didn't drink. I didn't smoke. And I'm not saying that those are, I'm just picking out things in my life that He has taken away. I used to be the person that at any given time, didn't matter where I was, I'd just go off and do whatever I wanted to do. Didn't matter. I didn't have any restrictions. I was kind of living alone at 17, so I could. It wasn't good. But I could. And I was told, you're not the same person you used to be anymore. You don't go off and just do whatever anymore. You don't do... Well, of course I don't. And I know why. And it opened up a door, obviously, for me to be able to share. This is what makes me different. But it shows the power of Christ working in your life by walking as He has for us to do. Does that mean we're going to be perfect? Does that mean that every day, every situation that we're in, that our walk is going to absolutely perfectly... Now, when I say walk, I'm talking about our manner of life, our conduct, how we are everywhere, every day, not just on Sundays or Wednesdays or whenever you're at church or you're around church people, but at work or out at the grocery store, your everyday manner of life. Is it perfect? If it is, please come talk to me and tell me how. Because I know it's not. Mine isn't. And mine should be, right? It should, and so should yours. But it's not. How many of you, don't raise your hand, but how many of you are struggling with sin? Even right now. I told you guys in Sunday school I was going to ask that same question. Because we all are. We all have some area in our life where we struggle to let God have control of. Or we're wrestling with something that He gives us the ability to conquer. We'll get to. That we're still holding on to and struggling with. This passage is not saying that we're going to be perfect. It's just saying that we're going to continue and try and work through His working in us to do what He has called us to do. Second, we see this morning, we're a confessing people. All true believers are confessing people. Now, does that mean that we're going to walk around and tell everybody every little thing that we've ever done in our entire life? No. I hope not. I hope I don't have to do that. We'd be here for a while. But as I mentioned a moment ago, we all sin. And we're going to. We're not perfect. We will be perfect someday. Positionally, we are saved. As true believers, all of our sins are forgiven. All of them. It was paid for once and for all on the cross. All past, present, and future sins are forgiven. Okay? I want to be very clear on that. But that doesn't mean it gives us area to say, well, it's forgiven, so I'm going to do it anyways. This passage in verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Say, wait a minute, doesn't mean we're already forgiven? When Christ died on the cross, didn't that pay for all my sins so I don't even have to ask anymore? Right? So it could say that. And many do. They just continue on with life and they never say, well, you know, they never repent of their sin. They just continue on because it's already forgiven. It's under the blood and I don't have to even think about it. But how many of you had parents? Nobody? We all had parents. How many of our parents had rules? Everybody. Okay. So how many of us in here broke those rules? We all did. Nobody's perfect. And so did we have to confess our disobedience to our parents? Well, we're supposed to. Why? Did our parents stop being our parents when we disobeyed them? No. But was there now a break in fellowship because we disobeyed them? Did we have one form of punishment or another? We're not going to go into any details. But was there a separation there? Go to your room. Stand in the corner. Put your nose up this high on the wall. Whatever the case may be, or a spanking or whatever. There was a breaking of fellowship between us and our parents when we disobeyed them, right? Well, the same thing goes with God. We're not unsaved because we sin. Scripture's clear on that. But we break fellowship. We disobey. Those sins are already paid for. This analogy is going to break down really fast, and it's okay. But the account's been settled and paid for forever. But we still continue to sin. The debt's paid ahead of time. But we then have to turn that bill in, if you will. We're a confessing people. It's been said by, I'll say, a very wise friend of mine, keep a short list of sins. How many of you have ever heard that term before? Heard that phrase? We keep a short list of sins. Say, okay, today I get to do this, and I get to do this, and I get to do this, and I'm going to hold on to those, right? It's not a pen. I didn't write all over my hand. But that's not what this is saying. This is saying, okay, I realize I sinned, and I ask for forgiveness, and I repent of that. And then I sin again, and as soon as I'm aware that I've done so, I confess and get it right. So it never really gets to the stack of I've lived 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years maybe in sin, and I've got all of this I have to confess. No, we take care of it right now. It's amazing that God even gives us the ability to do this. How hard is it in your own self to just, I'm going to stop doing something? I'm going to stop sinning. I'm just going to do it. How long does that last? It's sad. And I'm one of them. So I'll say this. You go off to a Bible conference, camp, revival meetings, whatever, and you make a decision. And you're going to follow Christ. I've turned my life over to Him. Wonderful. That is amazing. The Holy Spirit's working, and you're listening and answering the call. But about 3 to 6 months later, that fervency is gone. The fire is gone. We're back to doing it on our own. And it's happened to me. And I will go as far as to say I've been on the cynical side of watching this happen and say, oh, just wait about 6 months. And shame on me for it. But generally, it's true. God gives us the ability to make those decisions. God gives us the ability to then walk in that light as we continually repent. Now, repentance is it's a church term. You know, I'll say, I can look around the room and say almost everybody in here probably knows what that means. I'm sorry, right? I'll go a little further than that. Confession is not, I'm sorry, and leaving it there. One of my least favorite things to hear is, I'm sorry if. I'm sorry if I offended you. I'm sorry if I hurt you. I'm sorry if I did anything. Is that really a sorrowful thing? Is there really any meaning behind that? Or is that just kind of a band-aid to get past the situation and move forward? Confession, by definition, literally means to say the same thing. To agree with the offense. So in relation to God, we're confessing our sins. God, I know that I have sinned against you. He already knows that, doesn't he? Is there any question in his mind whether we broke his laws or not? Whether we're doing things we ought not to be doing? Of course not. Goes beyond that. It's agreeing with Him that our sins are not just oops or whatever. We're agreeing that they are real. It's a violation of His word and what He has for us to do. It's a we can look at it as an about face, you know, a military term. We're going one direction and we turn the other. I'm sorry that I have broken your command in such a way, whatever it may be. Then John tells us if we confess our sins, if we come to God and truly in a sorrowful way, which 2 Corinthians 7:9 through 11 is going to tell us here in just one moment, if we do this, is I'm sorry that I did this, and at all costs, okay? Now hear this, at all costs, remove this. You say, wait a minute, that gets really extreme now, doesn't it? At all costs, take this sin away. Is anything short of that really an apology? Is there really any confession of sin, admitting that there's a problem, that you have broken the rule, his law, and wanting restoration? Is that really there if you don't go to the point of, at all costs, please take this away from me? Or is it stopping short and saying, well, I'm sorry that I did this. I want to hold on to it. I've stopped there. At all costs, remove this sin from my life has not always come out of my mouth. I can tell you that right now. Because it hurts. Surgery hurts, doesn't it? Spiritual surgery does not hurt any less than physical surgery does. It's just a little different. Removing things from our lives is not easy. But confession of sin really gets to that point. I'm going to skip a passage here. Okay. Rick, can you switch that back to the version that it was in, please? I'm changing versions a little bit for understanding of the words a little. Or I can just read it if it doesn't come through, that's fine. I'm looking at the NASB. For the latter portion of this passage, because in doing so, it says the exact same thing, it just uses a little more common terms for us. It says, I now rejoice, not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. I'm not happy that you're sorry. I'm happy that you're sorry to the point that you were driven to accepting that that was a problem and turning from it. For you were made sorrowful according to the will of God so that you might not suffer any loss or suffer loss in anything through us. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death. Now I want to stop there because this, in talking to believers, and we know he's already talking to believers in the church of Corinth as he's writing this. We know that John's talking to believers because he calls them my little children, people he cares for. This salvation we're talking about is that progressive becoming like Christ more and more every day. I've had a couple conversations with some people lately talking about salvation as a positional thing, where we are believers forever. We are God's children forever, and that can never be taken away. There's the progressive of becoming more and more like Christ every day, Lord willing. And then at the end of life, we'll have glorification, where we will become like Christ. We will be like Christ, and that progressive forward and backward, that growth in Christ is complete. He's saying for that the sorrow of man, the I'm sorry if, doesn't really get you to the point of I'm sorry that I sinned against you. Please remove this from me. Help me to live the way I ought to live. Help me to walk in the light. I'll continue the passage. For behold, what earnestness. Oh, I haven't been doing this. Sorry. For behold, what earnestness. Where did it go? I'll just read it. For behold, what earnestness in every in this very thing, this godly sorrow, has produced in you. What vindication of yourselves. What indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal. What avenging of wrong. In everything, you demonstrated yourselves to be innocent in the matter. What he's talking about here is this godly sorrow that is brought on by an understanding that I have sinned against God brings. I truly want to be different. I truly want to follow is what this brings. This isn't just I'm sorry if I hurt you. I'm sorry if I stepped out of line. This is, God, I'm sorry that I've done this. Help me to be better. Remove this from my life. And this is that short list we keep. Because we're going to sin. You can't live life in a human body, even as saved, as a believer having a new nature. You still drag around the sinful, dirty, rotten flesh. It's going to tempt you. The devil is going to do everything he can to keep you from doing what you're supposed to do, right? And you can feel it some days. And it gets in your ear some days. Well, did God really say that? We've heard that before, haven't we? He's not really saying that's going to happen. It's not really that big a deal. Oh, it's just one little indulgence of whatever it is. Those things are going to happen, but when they do, God, take this away from me. Restore my relationship with you that I have broken. Not the fact that I'm not a child of God anymore, but that I get back in fellowship with, that I'm in agreement with him, that I have sinned, that I walk now as a child of light. And last, we see that we're a conquering people. You see, if we were to get up to this point and not be indwelled by the Holy Spirit and not have the ability to do this, so let's just say that somebody in here confesses their sin all the time. They walk the walk. On the outside, oh, they dress right, they talk right, they act right. You know, they come up, and nobody's sitting here so I can do this. I don't want to pick on you guys and point in your direction. But they sit right there in the most comfortable pew in the building because nobody sits there. And they are. Actually, the fronts are very comfortable. Just so you know. But they sit there front and center. They sing out every song. They give every time well over and above what, you know, the 10th or whatever. They're just model Christians. They're perfect. And they try and do it all in their flesh, in their own self. Can you physically dress appropriately? And I'm not saying we have to. I'm not wearing a jacket. I look out. It's not a big deal here. But they look right, they act right, they talk right, they do everything that they're supposed to do. Does that mean that they're a believer? No. Anybody can do that. I know some really, 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 really good unbelievers. And they do all kinds of stuff that's just fantastic on the outside. But we're a conquering people. The unbelievers cannot conquer sin. They can't. They can, I just don't do this anymore. It doesn't mean that they're not going to have victory over it. They're just abstaining from. But to have true victory over sin, to truly conquer it, sin and live life as children of light. We'll finish the passage. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. Can you, as a believer, can you go through every single day without sinning? No. One way or another, one thought, one word slips out, one bad thought, one thing, one. It's impossible. Well, I do pretty good, but you know, I'm going down the road and somebody cuts me off. I'm justified, right? Justified in Christ's forgiveness, yes. Justified in your action, no. That's a sin. And I'm not going to list them off. I mean, again, we'd be here forever. I'm not intending that today. But true believers are being indwelled by the Holy Spirit, have the ability to live lives not as sinners. We have the ability to. And I think the idea here is habitual. We have the ability, as believers, being indwelled by the Holy Spirit, to not live a life of habitual sin. Yes, I'm going to sin. And you all know that. And so are you. And we all know that. We're human. It's part of our fallen nature that we're not slave to anymore. It's dead to us. But we still drag it along. But we have the ability to confess those sins, to regain, restore that relationship with Christ and with one another, as the beginning of our passage says, to not live a life of habitual sin. We keep that short list, we confess. Romans 6, 12 through 14, let sin therefore not reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. We can do it. It is possible to live your life as a believer, as a redeemed individual. We're not under the law. The law is given, and it's perfect. There's nothing wrong with the law of God. He gave it. He never does anything wrong. But it doesn't offer help. It doesn't offer any way to help fulfill it. Jesus Christ did that. Christ said, I'm going away and I will send another like me in the same manner, in the same way that I am with you here. I will be with you. The word is paraclete, not the bird. I said the same thing with the little kids. Not a parakeet. Paraclete. The idea being a helper. Someone to come alongside and to give you strength and encouragement. We can do that with one another. But as believers, the Holy Spirit, God, Christ sent the Holy Spirit here to do that so he can help us be able to live the life we ought to live. He can be the one to be there and say, hey, you know, you just messed up. Because I'm sure we've all heard that too. We realize that we've sinned. That's not us realizing that. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And then allowing us or helping us, encouraging us to live that life that he's called us to. This is evident. You say, well, where do you get all that from? He says, I write these things that you'd sin not. I'm telling you, you can do this. I'm telling you how you can do this. These traits encapsulate, if you will, these. They show the traits, the everyday pattern of life of a believer. We walk as children of light. We confess regularly. We don't hold on to our sins. We don't then walk in habitual sin. So as we consider the original question that I asked in the beginning, how can you know that you yourself or another person is a true believer? Well, here's three. You can look at the pattern of life and say, okay, just as they're to pick on me for a minute, but does my life pattern conquering sin, confession of sin, and walking my everyday life as a believer, as God enables me to do so? If not, if the answer, you look at yourself and say, you know what? The answer to these three questions, any of them, is no. You know, my everyday life doesn't really show this. I'm not telling you you're not a believer. I can't do that. Only God can do that. But this might be a time where the Holy Spirit would say, hey, you know what? You are a believer, but your life doesn't show these three. And then any others that are in the Scripture. If that's you today, I mean, right now is always the perfect time. There's never, ever, ever any better time to do business with God than right now, at this very moment. And whenever right now is, that's the right time. To say, God, you know, I'm sorry that. Fill in the blank. Help me to walk as your child. Help me to not do this anymore. Remove these things from me that I might walk and exhibit your power of changing me and my life to the world around me. Maybe you look at those three questions and say, no, I have none of that. As a matter of fact, I don't even know what salvation is. I don't know what it means. I don't understand anything you're talking about. I say, that's okay too. If that's where you're at right now, I encourage you to allow one of us, please. Even if it's right now and you're sitting next to somebody that invited you or whatever, and you say, you know what, I don't know that I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I don't know that I'm a believer. I don't know if I'm a true believer. And I'm putting everybody on the spot, and it's okay. Turn to them and say, hey, can you help me? Can you show me from the Bible right now? And we'd be happy to. I'd be happy to. Somebody else can finish the rest of our singing today. I don't care. I'll go with you. But maybe that is you today. You don't know that you'd spend eternity with Christ as you pass on. As I said, never any better time than now. May we all walk in these ways, not in darkness, deceit, and defaming God. Let's pray. Father, as always, we come before you a very needy people. But God, thankful that you have given us your Holy Spirit. As believers, you've given us your Holy Spirit to dwell within us, to help us to live the life that you've called us to live, that you've equipped us with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to be able to do so. And God, I know everybody in this room or listening or, well, all of us can always be more like you, can always do better in all of these areas of life and more. And I pray, Father, that you would encourage us in these ways, that you would strengthen us, that you would help us to be more resolved to confessing our sins, to be resolved to conquering the sin in our life through your work. And Father, that we would walk, that our everyday manner of life would reflect the change that you have made in us, that we would show brightly the working of the Holy Spirit in us, that others would see our life and know that you exist and can do the same for them. Father, help us now as we close our service, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll take out our hymnals one last time, and I believe we have it on the screen. For Only Trust Him, 330. We'll sing the first and the third verse standing, please. Come, every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him not. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. Hey, there we go. This is the truth, the way that leads you to rest. Believe in him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. Amen. Lance, would you close in prayer for us this morning?